Thank you, Carol. That was awesome that you helped. I got it. Yep. That could be lunch. I want us to go a little deeper into what Carol was sharing. Carol was talking about the Trinity. And thank you, Carol, that you shared that it is really God that reveals that to us. It's the gift of faith that God brings us. Now, I want to expand that, think about that a little bit more, and share with you how that wonderful gift of faith that God has given you can be a source of strength in your daily life, because God wants it to be. And in the text that that we have from the Gospel of John, where Jesus is dialoguing with these Jewish religious leaders, Jesus shares something about himself that only faith could understand. He uses a name. He says, "I am." And that "I am" is a very special name. But Jesus also used other names to describe himself. Carol referred to a few of those in her kids' message. And names are used to describe the person. They're specifically used to describe the person's relationship to somebody. Take, for example, what did you call your dad when you were younger? And if you are younger, what do you call your father? You call him daddy, papa, different words that people would use. If you were to ask one of the little ones in Karen's preschool, now I didn't try this at chapel during the week, but it would have been interesting to try, Carol. If you would have asked them, "What's your father's name?" they probably would have thought that was an incredibly silly question. They would have said, "It's daddy." In Jesus' day, he said that we should refer to the Father as Abba. That means daddy. That was a term of endearment that was used. And the point is this, is that a child calls his father a name that describes his father's relationship to him and what he does for him. Have you ever done a study of the names of God in the Bible? It would be a good one to do here, and I would plan to do that in the fall, where we study the names of God and we see the different descriptions that God has of himself. And I copied some of these names that Jesus used in the book of John. There's seven of them specifically, seven key names that he uses to describe himself. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." These "I am" statements that Jesus makes describe the amazing and beautiful things that he came to earth to do for us. God wants us to use his names. He wants us to use his names because we're asking him through those names to move in the power and authority that that name implies. He does so many wonderful things for us. Before we even ask or think, there are so many stories in the Bible of those who used those names and stood in faith upon those names, and God did exactly what he said he was going to be. He did that for them. For example, we say that God is a rock. And when we say that, we mean that God is strong. He's our safety. He's our security. In every moment of our lives, at all times, we can run to him and we can feel safe. The religious leaders are arguing with Jesus, and they can't see who's standing right in front of them. They're not able to see that. It's not apparent to them, and you would think, as I was thinking about this text, and thinking about who Jesus reveals himself to be, you would think if somebody spent as much time in the Word as they did, they would know God standing in front of them. They spent countless hours studying, knowing, understanding the Scriptures. They knew a lot about the Bible. You would think that they would know who God is. Job asks the question, can we, by searching, find out God? Job 11:7. And we can search many natural subjects. We can study up many different areas, and by searching, we can find out answers to our questions. But not so with God. God must reveal himself. God must reveal himself to us. In the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said that, God, you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you reveal them to babes. In verse 27 of chapter 11 there, he says, you know, God must reveal himself, and unless he reveals himself to you, you would not know he's there. So to answer Job's question, no, just by knowledge, just by having a lot of knowledge of the Bible, it's not going to reveal God to us. You know, it's always been, and it forever will be, by faith. God comes to us in the context of a relationship where he reveals himself to us, says, I am the Savior. I am your hope. I am your God. I am your deliverer. And he comes to us in the context of that relationship and asks us to believe. He actually puts the faith within our hearts. And here's the amazing thing, that if you sitting here, for us together, as we're sitting here in this church this morning, we say together, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that he's my Savior. God revealed that to you. God was the one who put that thought in your heart. God was the one who revealed that awareness to you. And you could study the Bible all you want, but unless God reveals that to you by his grace, you will not see it. And as the Pharisees were sitting there just talking with Jesus, and they were not getting it, they couldn't understand all the beautiful things that God was doing in the world, but he's chosen to reveal it to us. You know, God is always there with me. He's there all the time. He just wants us to believe it. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to put our faith in him. And to, as he was talking there to these religious leaders, and there were other people in the crowd that were listening to him, he made a statement. He said, before Abraham was born, he said, before Abraham was born, he said, I am. Now, Jesus used a word there that was, they knew exactly what it was. It was a word that actually God used for himself from the very beginning. The word that God used is translated for us as Yahweh, or Jehovah. And it just means, I am. I exist. Present tense. I just am. When we describe ourselves, we have to use some sort of reference, like, I am old, I am young, I am strong, I am weak. We do that because we change. Because with time we change, and we have to compare ourselves to some reference point. God does not have to do that. He is self-existent. He does not need any reference point to establish his identity, because he doesn't need to explain himself. He just is. The reason why he does this is for you and for me. That's the only reason why. He wants you to know him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put your faith in him. And when he says, I am, that is present tense in our real world. You know, how do you think about the Lord during the day? Is he present? Is he present tense, or is he abstract thought that's out there, kind of a little further removed? You know, sometimes in my life, I get so busy with things and get so busy doing things that I think I get ahead of God. And I don't think about him as much in my daily life. And sometimes, you know, I just think this is what needs to be done. And even at times, I can't understand what God is waiting for. Why doesn't it just happen? And that attitude actually is the opposite of faith. God's got everything under his control. However, it might not seem that way on the surface. And you know, that's why you and I get frustrated, we get angry, we get upset, because I am being the great I am rather than God. And sometimes, you know, we just need to have one of those descriptive phrases in our mind. I heard two devotions this week, but I want to share one of them with you that comes from the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel were coming out of their slavery in Egypt, and God had shown many wonderful works for them. He had expressed himself in just incredible ways. They had been in Egypt suffering as slaves for 400 years. I mean, they had difficult and horrible life. And he wanted them to come out and go to the promised land. And as they're journeying out, it's still not that good for them. Because as they're leaving, they get to the Red Sea, this big, huge roadblock called the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh kind of gets upset and angry about everything that has happened, and he gathers his army that's left over and pursues them, and he's chasing them, and here they are at the Red Sea, and they have Pharaoh on this side. And you know, have you ever seen Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments? You seen the part where the Red Sea opens? You know, and I had this wrong, and the person that shared this with me really caused me to understand a little bit more of how faith works and how God works in our lives. Because in the movie, it's like 17 seconds or less. Boom, boom. In the scriptures, it was over a day. And it was one long, dark night that they had to sit there in front of the Red Sea with this threat on one side, the sea on the other side, having to trust God, not knowing which direction they were going to go, what was going to happen to them, are they going to get destroyed? And it's in those dark nights that we have to trust. Those dark nights when we're doubting, when we're fearful, when we're upset. It's at those times, and God brings those into our lives for one thing, because he wants to reveal who he is. He wants us to see that he is the great I am, fill in the blank. I am your hope. I am your strength. I am your joy. I am your deliverer. He wants us to know that. He has revealed that to us. You are his child. You know, he's quickened your heart to see that Jesus is the Christ. And he says, because of that faith that I planted in you, you are my child, and I'm watching over everything that happens in your life. Rejoice in that. Dance with me. Rejoice. Be happy. You know, it's this relationship that he has called us into that is the most amazing thing that we have this whole lifetime to explore. And I put in your bulletins, in your bulletin outlines, something that I have grown in, and some people have shared with me, and I've thought about how to practice the presence of God in our everyday life. Because, you know, we're talking about the great I am and the different descriptors that we would fill in there as we live out our daily lives. Well, it involves practicing God's presence. You see, he's brought you into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And none of us, you know, have all the answers. All of us are growing in our faith, and God has designed it like this. And so he calls us in our everyday life to practice his presence. So I put some ideas down in there that I pray would be an encouragement to you in your daily lives, so that we could develop a richer, stronger faith. And the first one that I noted in there was talking about just Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you're just living out your daily life, the presence of the great I am is meant to cheer you up. It's meant to calm you down. It's meant to strengthen you. And the way that you do that in your everyday life is you just welcome him in. You just make a point of it. Make a point to just welcome him into every situation. And I find that I have to actually pointedly do that. Because, you know, it's something that I just have to put in my mind, just like a bookmark in my mind. And it's like a register when I start getting worried, when I start getting upset or angry or anything like that. It's something that I learn and I grow in. And I say, oh, wait a minute. Let's stop. Let's welcome Jesus in. The scriptures tell us in the book of James, it says, welcome the word planted deep inside of you, the very word that is able to save you. So I bring to mind all the things that Jesus is. I bring to mind all the things that God is. I open up God's word and I let it speak to me and give me some comfort. Look at the beautiful words that Paul gives in Ephesians. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith, that your life will be strong in love and built up in love. The second point that falls to me, I stumble on this many times, maybe you do as well, is I just need to remind myself that God really is present, that He really is present in that situation. He is with me, He's around me, He is in me. I put a story in there from the prophet Elisha. And in this story from the prophet Elisha, it's a serious situation for him where Elisha is in trouble with one of the kings of Israel. And he is bound and determined to have Elisha's head. And he sends an army after him and surrounds the prophet. And the prophet Elijah has a servant who's there with him. And as I don't know if you do, when maybe in your daily work, do you ever get worried? Do you ever get upset or nervous about things? Or a little stressed? And, you know, I mean, it happens, right? And sometimes over just little things. You know, and the words of the servant are really gems to me, because he's looking at that situation, he's seeing the army, and he's going, what are we going to do? And I can see him just throwing up his hands there, or worrying, or biting his nails, or having a stress attack, or something like that. And Elijah's just sitting there calmly, and he goes, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes that he would see. And the Lord opens his eyes, and at that moment, he sees that around the army that's surrounding them are God's army of fiery angels with fiery chariots circling them. And there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. That God actually has things under control, and that He wants us to be able to trust Him and know that He is actually present in every situation. And I know it may seem like it's very hard to do. You know, this week, one of our members, Marsha Messman, had an accident. And she was working in a client's house, she cleans houses, and she fell off the ladder. And when she fell off the ladder, she landed on her wrist. And it was very serious. It actually took the wrist, and the wrist was like down here. So very, very serious, right? And she was worried and called me up, and I was there with her in the emergency room, and we were praying and just asking for God's presence to be there among us, you know. And still she was worried and she was really stressed, and the surgeon came in and said, I really need to do an operation on this, and, you know, I think it's really serious. We don't want any nerve damage. And, oh, I've never had an operation before. I'm worried. And the surgeon says, do you want to pray about it? You know, and just reminded her of the presence of God, and that He is right here in our midst. He's with us. He's watching over us. There's so many times we just don't see all the beautiful things that God is doing. And God is so patient. He is so kind. He is so loving with us. You know, look at it this way. God can't wait. I think if God doesn't wake up, because He doesn't go to sleep, right? But every morning when you wake up, I think God is just up in heaven, and He's just thinking, I can't wait to show them this today. I hope they trust me and walk with me today. I got something to show them. You know, this is the life that God has called you into. He's revealed that to you. He's revealed that to you. He says, just walk with me. And that's why the last point, I think all of us need to grow in this. And it's just developing a heart of praise, just thanking Him. And I can tell you, one of the biggest expressions of faith that you could ever make is to give praise when things are not going well, is to actually give praise to God when you can't see the answer. And you just say, Lord, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You based on not what I see, but what I see You've done in the Word. According to Your names, I will praise You. According to who You are, I will praise You. And we lift that up as a statement of faith. And that faith just speaks volumes to your heart and your mind. And it calms you down. And it helps you to see the great I am. You know, in closing, I want to close with an expression that us as Lutheran Christians especially, we're very familiar with. So, and you'll do fine with this. I will say the first part, and I will ask you to respond with the appropriate response. The Lord be with you. Amen. Our service will continue now as we collect our tithes and offerings. God bless you.